Well, good afternoon. It's really refreshing to follow such a role model of using GIS in public health. So this will be the pre-rookie stage. So I'm going to describe some projects we did with undergrads using, well, under the theme of healthography. And I have no relationships to disclose. So the theme of healthography, the theme of the conference, how where you live affects your health and well-being, is a different paradigm. It's, instead of talking about the healthcare system, we're talking about health and promoting health. And this image is from 2 years ago in San Francisco. Some of you, if you were there, you saw these huge images plastered on the buildings around the APHA conference, showing that zip code makes a difference. So a little bit more background on GIS, that geographic information systems are powerful tools to integrate and analyze spatial data. It's also, GIS is also referring to the science behind it, geographic information science. So the purpose of this project was to describe GIS tools that allow students to create points and polygons on collaborative maps for community assessment and planning. And these students here were working on a map that they proposed mapping WIC locations, WIC vendors in one town against the number of restaurants offering fast dollar menus. So they entered that in a contest, and they didn't win, but they at least they did enter it. So the learning objectives for this session are just to be able to differentiate between a point and a polygon on a map, and to discuss the potential of public health nursing contributions to health planning through GIS mapping. So the student participation in GIS was basically implementation of community assessment in different ways. And first of all, the students, we tried to develop their literacy in just reading maps. So I'll give you a few instances of that. And second, we engaged them in what I would call participatory mapping, where they were actually creating points, polygons, and lines on maps. And the three projects are listed here. So I'll just go through those. So first, an exemplar of students learning to be map readers. We like to expose them to the excellent county health rankings and roadmaps website that is, it's kept quite current. This shows 2012, but the beauty is you can look at whatever state you're at, and the counties within are ranked, the darker colors imply that they are in the highest percentile of poor health outcomes. And on the right are health factors, that's kind of the predictors of future health, and the same thing, the lighter colors imply that they have favorable health factors versus the darker colors. Another exemplar is the health map, healthmap.org website, and there are, I think, six different interesting ways to view health factors and health outcomes on that website. They all have to do with communicable disease. So the one we're showing is the Ebola outbreak, and the beauty is there's actually a timeline. You can see how the outbreak is evolving by looking at the timeline. So those two are really about being an observer of maps and a user of maps. Then the next projects are about actually creating maps. And there are three types of geospatial data that we can enter on maps. Points are single points on Earth like a fire hydrant or a park bench. A line is a string of points that are connected like a road or a pathway. And then a polygon usually represents an area, and it can be as big as a town or a county, or as small as a house, a building on land. The first project We implemented all these at University of Minnesota School of Nursing, and then actually were able to spread it out. We had a MOOC in health informatics, a massive open online course, and we released this activity there, and were able to get actually students all over the world mapping using this. In this case, it's an interactive map, and we used ArcGIS Online. It's an online version of created by Esri, and created the data entry so that students would choose an icon, either a strength or a weakness, using the World Health Organization checklist for age-friendly cities. And then the student would enter the data point, and a pop-up comes where they can describe more about it, the particular feature that they saw. For example, I think this one has to do with outdoor spaces and buildings, and there's a number they put in that goes with their code sheet that describes that that means that there is convenient seating throughout the park area. And in this case, we took that one step further, and a county where our students have their practicum had their local initiative that went very well with the Age Friendly Cities initiative. And they invited the students to help check out the template they were going to use with each city within the county. And in this case, we did very specific data collection. For example, they wanted to know how many miles of walking paths there were, not just sidewalks, but actual walking or biking paths. And they wanted to know, were there sufficient park benches in the parks? And so this happened in, we call it spring semester, but there was still ice on the lake and the snow had kind of gone away. But we did actually go on the ground and look at park benches, and these four students checked it out and said, oh yeah, this is a good park bench. And then the next step was to actually represent on a map one of the areas that we saw as a model city, a model development for older adults to live. And here, the polygon in orange on your lower left is a senior housing complex. And then we measured the, all around the lake was a paved pathway, a very nice walking path. So we measured that using the tool in ArcGIS Online and found out that it was 1.86 miles. Whoops. And then we actually drew, each time we saw a park bench, we put a green stick pin there. And you can see just with the naked eye that there's room for more park benches. And that's exactly what the age-friendly cities would say, that there needs to be more. Other than that, we saw lots of strengths in this area, and it's a growing area, and we think, well, the basics are all there already, so this could be a model for the county. Another one is we, instead of having students do community assessments, the full-blown ones, we have them do windshield surveys, which are very brief. You drive the car around and observe, make observations. So we have students use a standardized language, the Omaha system, to use that as a checklist of 11 problems. And they either, they observe that they saw the problem and then give evidence when they write their paper. Or if it's a strength, they just handwrite it in. And this is set up the same way in the ArcGIS Online, where the students write into a pop-up. Then at the very end, they count how many problems out of 11 that they observed. And you'll see this is sort of a light orange. If they'd observed lots of problems, it would have been a darker brown, a little bit like Hector showed. The darker color implied more problems. Lighter color would be 0 to 3 problems. And this is an example of a follow-up project. The students that decided they wanted to go further into the nutrition problem they'd observed, and they actually created their own display here of where the WIC vendors were versus the, those are the green green stick pins, and then the value menu are the purple points. And you'll see there are a lot more purple points than there are the green ones. Then they went a little further, and we had the census data here for, this was for income. Yep. Median income. And there's a very beautiful built-in display of the census here, so that that little green square is showing for that block group what the median income is and how many households. Actually, each bar you can see how many households fit into that category of income. So based on that, the students presented to the county staff and made some recommendations of what they thought would be helpful for clients living in that area. And the very last one just happened last week, but we are very concerned with some of our faculty who are going to go respond to the Ebola outbreak in Liberia. And I became aware that there is a volunteer mapping opportunity through OpenStreetMap. They have the Humanitarian OpenStreetMap Team, or HOT. And going to that website, you'll get the priorities for that week of areas that need to be mapped that may not be mapped at all. There may not be roads, houses mapped in there. So we held a mapathon last week, and my students presented how to map, and we had about 20 participants who learned to map and really enjoyed it. So I think this will just be something that the students will do as volunteers, because they feel like they can do something, even though we can't all go and respond to Ebola. So in summary, I think the lessons learned are that students do embrace this. They are able to learn the GIS technology to gain insights about communities. And we found that the public health staff were very interested in learning what the students had learned, and that they could foresee using GIS in the future. And I think the bigger picture is that because the GIS is available in a cloud-based system now, that using standardized language like we did, it's possible to have data exchange among different public health nursing communities or student groups using the same platform. So that's my email if you need to communicate later, and I'll wait for later for questions. Thank you.